Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Shut your mouth! Good day, sir!
Say hello to my little friend!
Gerrit Cole is eligible to pitch in a World Baseball Classic for the Dominican Republic.
Because Rafael Devers is his daddy!
Sleep with your mom's best friend. Check. Check. Own it. Check. Don't run away from it. Check. Be funny about it. Check. Have the locker room love you. Check. It checks every single box. My guy, my quarterback, I'm in love.
And here we
Well,
go.
Hi there, everybody. Good afternoon to you. Carton Roberts on the fan. Craig is on vacation. Though I got to tell you, that guy calls me every freaking day. So is he really on vacation if he misses me that much to say,
hey, Evan, I got to ask you about this. I got to ask you about that.
But he'll be back next week. Big Mac is filling in yet again. How you doing, pal?
Good, Evan. How are you? Well, listen, you know he can't be by himself. That's a problem.
I know. Did you get any sleep last night after that Yankee game?
I did, yes. I got some sleep, yes. I wasn't too thrilled with the news that came right out after the game, but I got some sleep.
Dude, let me tell you something. And I'm a big Matt Carpenter guy.
Yeah.
I think everybody knows that. I love Matt Carpenter, and I've been right about Matt Carpenter.
You have been.
I mean, he is the soul of this Yankee team.
Another Cashman gem.
Oh, no doubt. When he fouls that ball off his foot,
yeah.
I know my guy.
Yeah.
I know him. You know, sometimes they say...
You can feel it.
You can feel the pain of a relative
yeah.
because you're so close to them.
Sure.
I'm sitting in my bed. I'm a little bit behind in this game, mm-hmm. so it's kind of weird how the time thing works.
Yeah.
So I'm like 20 minutes behind. Sitting in my bed. I finally got the kids asleep. The Mets won because, you know, they're the Mets. And as I see Matt swing and that ball hits his foot, all of a sudden, this pain went through my foot. I couldn't even figure it out. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And I said to my wife.
Sympathy pains.
I said, honey, I think I broke my foot. And she said, excuse me? I said, yeah. She's like, you're just sitting here. I said, I'm telling you, I think I broke my foot. Then I realized it wasn't me.
Right.
It was Matt. Mm-hmm. And you knew it. You could see the look yeah. in his eyes. And he did finish the at-bat because he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
And he wanted to drive that run in. But you knew from the get-go that was a problem. And then they actually broke the news in the middle of the broadcast. I think it was like the sixth or seventh inning
yeah.
when my good friend Ryan Rucco said, uh-oh, we got breaking news. And the break is the break. And that sucks, man, because this guy's been fantastic. They kind of need his bat. And I hope for him and I hope for you that he's able to come back within 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd love to have him have an impact this entire down the stretch. But like we talked about yesterday, they're now back to 10.5 games up. The Blue Jays lost again to the streaking Orioles. So the lead's back up to double digits. I'm not too concerned about this team going down the stretch. You're looking for this team to be postseason ready. And in the short term, it hurts more than it does in the long term. Hopefully he does come back. Short term, Rizzo on his second four-game excursion with back issues. Who knows how many times that's going to pop up. It's not like the back pain lingers. That's not a thing. And then obviously Stanton. So yeah, down the stretch, it's going to hurt. But if he can come back, if he can still be a part of it, I fully expect him to be able to come back, get in the swing of things, and be able to play if that foot heals. But it's a devastating injury. You feel bad for it's one of those things where you feel bad for the Yankees, obviously. As a Yankee fan, you feel bad for, you know, your opportunity here to continue to win and continue to play well down the stretch and seal off this division and get into the postseason. But you feel bad for him too. He was putting together a remarkable comeback
from nowhere.
And to watch him do what he's done for the Yankees and hit the way he's hit, to have it end on a foul ball like that, well, hopefully that's not the end.
I'm glad you said you feel bad for him because I feel bad for him, and I think most people listening, whether you're a Met fan or a Yankee fan, you feel bad for Matt Carpenter. And here's what's so funny about sports. we all universally feel bad for Matt Carpenter.
Yes.
He got hurt. Not his fault. He got hurt.
I think I know where you're going with this.
And then you've got the big ticket himself, Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
And I understand why there's a difference. Trust me, I get it. But Mekhi Becton yesterday injured his knee. And we'll get to Coach Saleh, who initially said, yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I think he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. We find out today it is a big deal. If you're just tuning in, Mekhi Becton's done for the year. He's got like a ruptured, you know, kneecap or whatever the hell it is. I don't even know. All I know is he's going to be done for the season. And I think the natural reaction to that injury is to say, what a fat bust.
Yep.
That's the reaction. Now, I'm not going to say that because there is a part of me, while I acknowledge that Mekhi Becton has not done anywhere near what we as Jet fans expected when he was selected 11th overall in 2020, he's played, I think, 14 games in the NFL through two seasons.
Yep.
That number's going to remain unchanged, which means three seasons into his NFL career, Mekhi Becton will have played 14 games, with 13 of them being in his rookie season. So I understand that there's a frustration in terms of what he's been. But Mekhi Becton fracturing his kneecap sucks for Mekhi Becton.
Of course.
Because I'm sure, especially with all the critics that he's heard over the last few months about how he's fat and he's out of shape and all that, I'm sure there was a motivation to actually playing football and proving people wrong.
Yeah.
And this wasn't his fault.
No.
And I got to tell you, as a Jet fan, I do feel bad for Mekhi Becton.
I can tell you right off, when you're heavy set, you get no breaks. All right, so everyone's all over him because he's fat and he's lazy, and those are the impressions you get for, you know, being the size he is. And then even, you know, his weight was an issue this entire offseason. And, you know, that's the immediate reaction from the Jet fan is, you know what it is. It's like, they should have known this. I knew he wasn't going to play. We all knew it. Everyone knew he was going to get hurt. It was an obvious thing. He's out of shape. He's lazy. He's going to get hurt again. He's on bad knees. He weighs too much. How do you expect it? They should have went out and got more tackles. They should have addressed it in the draft. That's what you're hearing today and how what a disaster it is. Here we go again with the Jets. And I agree with you. I think this is much worse for him than it is the Jets.
Well,
I don't think it's – I mean, it's not that it's not – when he came in, remember, obviously, Andrew Thomas was the bust. Right. And Becton was the one pushing people all over the field.
Because
in
his rookie season.
And the Giants blew it.
Well, in his rookie season, Becton was better than Andrew Thomas.
Oh, no question.
He was.
No question. And he was not only that, the way he moved at his size, he looked like someone who's special. Not just better than Andrew Thomas, special.
Yeah.
And for it to completely go this way now, it's very frustrating to watch. But at the same time, of all the problems the Jets have had last year, the year before, I've really felt like the offensive line, even without him, has started to kind of solidify.
The offensive line was the best part of the New York Jets last year, period.
Yeah.
And I defy any Jet fan to disagree with that. Now, you could say, well, look at their defense. Look at their secondary. Look at this. Look at that.
Yeah.
The New York Jets offensive line a year ago was good. In fact, Pro Football Focus ranked them as the 11th best offensive line in the league. That's not bad.
Not bad for a team who plays the way the Jets do, no.
So they were the 11th best offensive line in football. I agree with those rankings. I mean, I'm not watching every snap of every other team, but I could tell you as a Jet fan watching every snap, their offensive line was their strength last year. How many snaps did Mekhi Becton play last year as the Jets had the 11th best offensive line in the NFL? And there's your answer. And so, and I know that there are Jet fans at the time, and I respect this, at the time, that said, go get an offensive lineman with two of those top 10 picks.
Yep.
I wasn't one of them.
I know.
And I wasn't saying it because I thought Mekhi Becton was going to be healthy. I never thought Mekhi Becton was going to be healthy because his track record has said he's not healthy.
Right.
I did it because there were other areas of this football team that needed to get better. And that even without Mekhi Becton, even without him, this offensive line had a chance to be good. One of my reasons why George Fant needed to be the left tackle and Mekhi Becton on the right side was because, A, George Fant's a better left tackle and struggled when he played on the right side, but also because I can't rely on Mekhi Becton.
Right.
And I don't want to move him back to left tackle, have him get hurt 3 weeks into the season, and have to shuffle my entire offensive line.
Right.
So when you look at this football team moving forward, I don't believe this injury should affect what our expectations are for them. It shouldn't at all. It shouldn't even change our expectations for this line. Now, should they go out and sign Dwayne Brown? Sure. Dwayne Brown's 38 years old, and he's been unsigned this entire offseason, so I'm skeptical he doesn't have much left. But at this point, why the hell not?
Yeah.
You want to bring him in? You want to teach him the right side? I wouldn't play him at left tackle. I wouldn't play him at left tackle and then move George Fant to the right side because Fant's a better left tackle.
Fant's your left tackle.
Period.
Period.
Assuming he's healthy, and hopefully he is.
Yeah.
But this is more about A, Becton, And B, as a Jet fan, we have all this history
yep.
of crappy first-round picks. You'll hear all about it Thursday at 2 o'clock when Joe comes back.
Bro, you want me to give you the list?
We know the list. I know my list. And unfortunately, and it pains me to say this because I'm sick. I am sick and tired as a Jet fan of reading off the names and remembering the names of all the first-round picks in the annals of Jet history mm-hmm. that have been bust for various reasons. The reality is, it is because of health. Mekhi Becton's one of them.
No question. He's a bust.
He's not going to play football.
No. But he was a bust last year, and like you said, the offensive line came together and was the best unit on the team. This was an opportunity to see, and I remember you mentioned during the draft, part of it was, to be fair, though, I think part of it was, if you remember during the draft, it was, well, if they draft a tackle, mm-hmm. they're signifying they're done with Becton. Like, that was kind of the feel, too. Like, yeah, it's just allocation to the team. Like you said, there's other spots to do it. Plus, you have Becton
right.
in there. If you draft a tackle, Becton's no longer a part of this team. So they did have plans for him, and you were hoping that if he did come back and play right tackle and look the way he did in his rookie season, you did have aspirations of maybe this offensive line not being the 11th best, but top five
sure,
best.
Sure,
and
sure,
somewhere
sure.
to. So, I mean, it is a bummer for the team as much as it is for Becton, but you can move on from it. And once you, and he is a bust, there's no question about it, but he's kind of been a bust since the last time he played. It's not like today we wake up and Becton's a bust. Until he got on the field and proved otherwise, he's been a bust for a year.
Well, the funny thing is, when he plays football, he's not.
No,
when he plays football, he's good.
He's good.
The problem is, he's barely played football.
Right.
I mean, the last 2 years of his NFL career, he will have played one football game, and that's just not enough.
No.
But if I made a list going into training camp, because my biggest worry as a football fan, I think all of us have this same worry.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest worry is injuries. My biggest worry is exactly what happened to Carl Lawson a year ago.
Right.
All we heard about was how great Carl Lawson looks in training camp and the difference he's going to make on this defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, he's out for the year. And I fear that as a football fan. I think we all do. Now, you can't live life fearful. That's why I understand why Brian Daboll is going to play his regulars on Thursday night when the Giants play their first preseason game. You can't wrap everyone up in bubble wrap. I get that.
Right.
But my biggest fear is injuries. If I was going to make a list, and maybe one night I should have, and maybe I still can, because when I can't sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, I make weird lists. But if I made a list of the guys the Jets can't lose, if they lose this guy,
yes.
we're bleeped. If I made that list, Mekhi Becton wouldn't have been in the top 20.
Yep, I agree with you. But it's because of the name, it's because of the draft pick, it's because of the weight, it's because of the conversation. Or, I mean, for during the minicamps, he was the topic for the New
York Jets. Conversation,
That was the conversation.
Yes.
So to have the fear feel inevitable, and then for it to happen this early into camp, it's just, it's a frustrating thing. But I agree with you. He's not in the top 20, to put it your way, of guys they can't afford to lose.
And that's why,
you move on from it.
For any Jet fan who thinks I am super negative, I may be super negative at times, but I also got to call it like it is. I felt bad for Mekhi Becton. I understand all the weight questions about him. I think this kid wanted to play football, all right? I don't believe he's just going through the motions and doesn't give a rat's ass. And for him to basically tear up his kneecap, you know, weeks into training camp sucks. And it sucks for him. But as a New York Jet fan looking at this upcoming season, a season I am excited about, I would actually say it's the most excited I've been about a football season since 2012.
Yeah.
Why not? Based on all the crap we've watched for a decade and the hope for the future. And that doesn't mean the Jets.
Sad state of affairs.
But it's a reality state of affairs.
It's hard to just say.
Of course it's sad. Yeah. But I understand sadness. We all understand sadness.
You know what I got to tell you, though? To your point, though, when you found out the news, and even though, your coach kind of made you feel better about it, which is frustrating, I understand. But when we got the news yesterday, I didn't see, you didn't even almost flinch.
Well, I expected it.
It didn't even bother you.
Because,
like, you were just like, oh, okay. And then Salah comes out and says, well, we don't think it's that bad, and you felt a little bit better. But even when it first happened, it was almost just like, here we go. No big deal.
Because I expected it.
Yeah.
How did any Jet fan not and I expected it, but it's not like you're expecting Jacob deGrom to get hurt.
Right.
Because Jacob deGrom is different in a way. I looked at what I watched last year for the New York Jets, and I remember having this conversation with a few other Jet fans. Benigno and I had this conversation a few months ago. I'm sure he'll remember it when we're on the air in a couple days. And that was, hey, best part about the Jets in 2021 was their offensive line.
Right.
It was the best part. And this guy barely played.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play, essentially. He didn't. The Salah thing, here's the thing that annoys me about Salah. And I guess it's almost me pushing for managers and coaches to not say anything, which is the opposite of what we want as fans and certainly what people want in the media. When Robert Saleh alluded to, hey, I don't think it's serious, it relaxed me. Again, not that I was overly concerned.
No, but, you weren't.
Okay. It looks like he's going to be fine. This is a minor injury. And he turned out to be wrong. And I know today at his press conference, he explained why he was wrong. And I appreciate that. I appreciate why Robert Saleh thought this was minor. We didn't see structural damage. Whatever the hell he said.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they said. Honestly, the ACL is fine. This is fine. The knee seems structurally fine.
Okay.
And then MRIs and x-rays revealed the break.
Okay. This is why. It's like what George W. Bush used to do. He used to go. Now, this analogy is going to work.
Always back to presidents.
Well, it was a good one. President Bush would set the bar very, very low in debates. You know, like, hey, if I put a sentence right. together,
exactly.
I did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Then he would come out against Al Gore and John Kerry, and people would say, boy, W won the debate. Yeah, because he set the bar low. Right. He was brilliant.
Yes.
Part of what my respect for him.
Yes.
So what I wanted...
The stupid card earns respect.
What I wanted Saleh to do was say, boy, I think his knee may fall off. I got to tell you. I don't know if he's ever going to walk again. And then if the report comes out that he's fine, it's like, oh, great. Or don't say anything.
Yeah.
Or don't just say,
never give good news if you don't have it for sure.
Yes.
That's 100%. Yes. Never give good news if you don't know it for sure.
Dude, here's my analogy. You're married. I'm married.
Yeah.
Rosenberg has no idea about marriage.
Right.
Would you ever want to tell your wife something that's good news that you can't deliver on?
No. Never.
Can you imagine that?
I went to the George Bush school for that, too. Everything's bad until it's good.
Yes!
We're in trouble.
Like, we're going out to dinner tonight.
Yep.
All right? Very excited. DVRing the Met game, don't worry.
Oh, I had no fear.
I know.
Don't worry about it.
Going out to dinner.
Was I concerned you were going to miss the Met game tonight? I was not. Oddly enough.
So we were talking about where we're going out to
dinner. Is there room on the table for the book? That's the only question.
Well, luckily, Craig's on vacation. He's not just going to show up at our date night, which I'm very happy about. Then again, yes. So... I know there's a restaurant she wants to go to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if we can get a reservation. Now, could you imagine if I called up my wife right now and said, look, we're set. We got the reservation. But I don't actually have the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be fine. I'm pretty sure it's going to be fine.
Right.
But I tell her, hey, it's going to be fine. We got a reservation. And then about an hour before I'm in the car, I'm like, all right, I got bad news. It's booked solid.
No. Book solid. There was a flood. Something tragic happened. The stove stopped working. The chef had an emergency. You never just say, I didn't make the reservations.
Right.
Something tragic happened and we can't get to the restaurant. Car doesn't start. You got to go out there and cut your own brakes.
That would go over very, very badly.
Oh, very badly.
As opposed to, hey, look, I don't know if we're going to get a reservation. It's going to be real tough,
right.
But I'm going to try.
Yes.
And then if somehow I got a reservation, I'm a freaking hero.
Mm-hmm.
I beat Al Gore's ass in that presidential debate. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Locked box?
Yeah.
Craig didn't get that reference 2 weeks ago.
Nope. I'm still not sure I did, but I chuckled anyway because I'm on the show with you and the last thing I want to do is make you feel stupid. So that was hilarious.
Thank you.
Evan, man, you cracked me up.
We will get to the Mets who showed that they don't believe in freaking letdowns. And
I told you, Buck does not allow letdowns.
You see what you're doing?
I told you.
Do you see what you're doing?
The guy, he refuses to allow the team to accept letdowns. Right out the gate, boom, Marte, home run. They're flying.
You see what you're doing right now?
I'm telling you how good the Mets are and how they don't have a mindset. They have a leader who doesn't allow a mindset of failure in any way, including letdowns. It doesn't happen.
You're being a sarcastic dude.
I'm not.
No, you kind of are.
I'm not.
This is what you do.
No, Buck, he's established a culture in that clubhouse that refuses letdowns.
Just remember this, Met fans. When the Mets win, if you need that sarcasm from anyone,
I'm not
you're
being
gonna get
sarcastic.
It from the big man to my left.
The guy is unbelievable.
He's the greatest manager of all time.
I didn't say that. Of this season?
Right,
considering every other manager in baseball is just a puppet for the GM,
right.
And Buck is the one true manager out there allowed to make his own decisions, and look at how that's paying off.
Hey, you saw what Buck did last night.
The rest of the league should take a round.
What Buck did last night, and he's going to have to do this in the postseason, is he had a pitcher walk off the mound after 7 innings with a pitch count over 100 and mouth to him, I got another. And Buck didn't go to his books. And say, well, I don't know about that. Let me see what these numbers tell me. He said, okay, you want another inning, big shot?
Yep.
Go out and pitch another inning.
Completely agree. I'm so glad he did it. You know when else that happened? There was a game in the 2015 World Series where a pitcher came off the mound
and he was like, you know what, I'm going back out there.
Don't and the manager that. Was smart enough to say, you know what, buddy? You're right. Yes. You're the Dark Knight. No. You own this city. You get back out there and you finish this
First game. Of all, it's completely, completely different. And the fact you brought up that wound to me, like, you don't want me to break this down.
It reminded me.
No, it didn't remind me.
Well, you seem so pleased with it, I figured you'd be pleased in any situation that would have taken place.
There's a difference between August, I've got no bullpen. I don't know who's available.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the order against the Cincinnati freaking Reds and the World Series when I've got J-Riz Familia, who I can give a clean inning to, and it's Matt Harvey taking on Lorenzo Cain and Eric Hosmer.
Okay. Just making sure there is a distinction. You got it.
There's a huge distinction.
All right. You got it. You sold me. I just wanted to see how you felt about all those situations.
You're pissing me off. We'll get your calls coming up, 877-337-6666. Plus, a little bit later on, we'll find out if Evan Neal proved that he's a really bad guy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.